Awesome. Coming next to the stage, so I mentioned that we have Sit, Stay, Read in the house. You're going to hear a little more about what they do from people involved in the organization throughout the night, but just to give you a bit of a primer, so they are a group that uses dogs to help kids with engage with literacy. They'll bring dogs to classrooms and have kids read to the dogs, and then that gets the kids engaged with reading, and it gets them playing with dogs, and it makes the dogs happy because kids are paying attention to them. It's just magical. Like, I can't imagine a better organization in the world than that. And they have brought three people here to share stories with us tonight, starting with a gentleman I went to high school with, an incredible keyboard player back in the day. I don't know. Are you still active in bands? I don't even know. Ish?
I'm Svengali, if you will.
Okay. A Svengali of the keyboards. This is Dan Smart.
Thank you, guys. So I am going to read some poems for you guys. I'm latterly also a poet, and I try to think about dogs or summer. It was easier for me to think about summer than dogs. I do write about dogs, though, because I am attached to a Sit, Stay, Read person, whom you'll hear from later, and we are both nuts about our dog, but those things that I write about our dog were cuter than I thought they would be to me. But when you have to read something out loud, you know, it's like, I don't think so. But so these are kind of like, I'm going to do the summer thing, but I'm sure there will be much more about dogs. But so there's like some sunshine and there's some night. There's suns, there's moons, there's flowers. It's going to be good. There also are veiled musical references in most of them. So maybe that'll keep my musical cred up. So here we go. They're short, so no worries. I'm not gonna do the wasteland or anything. But this is called Common Crow Poem. Through endless fields of fire blue ozone, weightless but oppressively cloudless, she alone goes slowly wheeling, dragging a ragged black cloak on secret invisible breezes. Breezes which she seems to carry and keep underneath her, even in this stilted dead center of summer. While two opportunistic eyeballs, sharp pebbles of obsidian, scan the heather which rustles and sighs beneath a few drooping deciduous Midwestern treetops. She, the one uniquely American scavenger, she never rests, but neither does she work. She doesn't pray, but she does not hunt. When she spies a good meal, she laughs and she coughs both at once, making known to all of us down below the peculiar nature of this shared paradox, the grim intransigence of our own good luck. This next poem is called Concurrence. Under the commodious shade of a poplar, the wind purring indiscriminate through its summer carapace of leaves, thought I could see, in broad daylight, Orion and the Big Dipper faithfully mirrored in the furtive freckles of a tiger lily. The blossom, common among its sisters, was a pure grimace of confession, unblinking, staring straight, and contentiously skyward. It delivered maternally, yet very matter-of-factly, like an old matronly administrator would. Well, how do you think all these different things around here discovered the one place where they all fit together? Whether we choose to admit it or not makes no difference. The fact is we are always, 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 always living in a neighborhood. This poem is called Parable. In ragged fields, foregrounding lattice electricity pylons, honeybee drones flit industriously between rusty sunflowers, crisp clover, snapdragons, wild foxglove, and marigolds. Hardly noticing anything pretty about their workplace scenery, they are too busy, hauling the sticky, messy effluvia, spiriting away all they can hold, off to the dank, furtive folds of their own incommodious comb. to vomit and then reconsume, spit and fan again and again, compressing into waxen tombs, one Spartan cube at a time, of something they weren't designed to understand. Nuggets of food for huge old gods. This poem is called... this next one is called Proposition. Poor flowers, coaxed by the sun's warm fingers, harassed by the quick rhythms of a few passing insects, cajoled by the tickle of sticky, moist earth into opening up, emptying out their innermost spaces completely, and exposing every last particle and filament of their frail and shy beauty to a wide world so far beyond their comprehension, only to wind up abruptly shriveled by wind, wheedled by rain, drained dry and left in the retreating light to wilt and die shortly thereafter. And yet, they do not die how you think that they might, not of fright, and certainly not of embarrassment. This poem is called I Sit and Meanwhile Back. Take care. It's getting harder and harder to be somebody out here. Despite blue suburban skies, there's a furious, mad, but directionless wind that keeps blowing and blowing on the street, and nobody else can see it. It's yours alone, and it's blowing you nowhere. And even McCartney's greatest metaphors seem to hold no sway anymore. Things just are what they are, and you know it when they aren't anymore. For instance, all those penny lanes you remember, dazzling, uncountable miles of them in all sizes, far-flung, shade and sun-spangled, might be stopping up your ears and your eyes, but not a single one of them will ever exist the way you really need it to, as pavement, as asphalt and rebar and paint and concrete underneath your sore and intransigent feet. This poem is called Midnight Blues. You don't know a lot, but you think it's safe to assume that all things are desperate to open up and show you what they've got. You suspect there are all kinds of feelings you just haven't met the words for yet. Last night you could see the shiny milk-white quarter moon ringed with tiny forever stars, and cradling the ghost of the full moon in its spindly arms, and you felt willing to bet someone or something was out there trying to forget everything that has ever happened, and yet, in the process, inadvertently thinking of something really big that hasn't yet. Two more quick ones for you here. This poem is called Apollo, Atmospheres and Soundtracks. It's like when you wake and you walk out the front door alone and the morning's all mud silver, silent beads of dew on green-blue hostas in the wet dirt. Spring to mind visions of faraway planets whose hot, remotest jungles and freezing cold, untrammeled beaches are airless, soundless vistas where you can't smoke cigarettes anymore and music won't exist, and which you'd practically have to be dying to visit. Thank you. I have one more for you guys. It's called National Anthem. Ever notice whenever you're sure you've got something worth saving, it's because you can sense that it won't be sticking around for much longer? It's like trying to savor a frosty, tall chocolate malt without watching it melt away into thick milk on a soft July night. Or the pleasant desperation of a big group of people who all know each other singing along to the summer's biggest radio song at an all-night party on the back lawn, where the lyrics consist only of the track's total runtime counting down to zero, sung one half decibel more quietly each second. And the underlying chords contain every single melody line of a universe filled with vibrating strings, each giving its own independent, self-centered concert, all stacked up on top of one another, and each one just so happening to sound out simultaneously once or twice, giving off the very temporary illusion that none of this is nonsense. Thank you.
Svengali of keyboards and poetry. I didn't want to mention this in the intro, but I was actually listening to a CD from one of your high school bands earlier because I was looking for songs about dogs, and one of your albums has a track called, do you remember?
Oh, My Dog Ate My Surfboard.
I believe it was Me Dog Ate Me Surfboard. Yeah. Yes.
Because it's British.
Yeah. Classic. It's so good. It's like this surf rock.
That's me doing that vocal.
Yeah.
The only problem is there's no lyrics in the whole
thing. That's true. It's not really poetry. It's just that line and then keyboard.
He's saying, me dog ate me surfboard.
Classic. Classic Dan. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for that.